Well, that was beautiful, wasn't it? I so much want to get up here and say, I thought Darren was preaching today. But I don't want to put Darren in the hospital with doing that to him. But this is such a great season. And Robbie, thank you. I don't think anybody else in this congregation could have ad-libbed a children's message as well as you did. So thank you. And we apologize that we didn't communicate better with you. But you did a wonderful job, and the kids are just great. We continue in our travels through the gospel according to Luke as we prepare ourselves for Luke's great telling of the mystery and the glory of that first Christmas. And we look today in the third chapter of Luke, beginning with the seventh verse, verse 7 through 18. And this continues in the story of John, the one we call the Baptist. And we hear this. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. And John answered, "The man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same." Tax collectors also came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you're required to," he told them. And then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, and the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into the barn. And he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. May the Lord bless us a portion from his holy word. I know every family has one. In our family, it was my great uncle Fred. Now, don't get him confused with my uncle Fred, my dad's brother. This was my grandfather's brother, Fred. See, now, my family only had two names, Fred or Charles, so they got reused all the time. But my great uncle Fred was that character in our congregation, or in our family. That person that you go, "Yes, we are related." I know you all have a great Uncle Fred somewhere in your family. I know that's true. Every family has that character in their family that they kind of like, "Yes, we're related. What did he do now?" And that was my great Uncle Fred, who never had an unspoken opinion on anything. My great Uncle Fred, who made Archie Bunker look like a flaming liberal. He wasn't a racist. He just didn't like anybody who was any way, shape, form different than he. That was as simple as that. But he was still our uncle, my dad's uncle. Well, I'm afraid in our Christian family, in this body that we call the church, we have our great uncle Fred, but we call him John the Baptist. You know, we read about John the Baptist, we hear what he is talking about, and we go, "Yes, I know, he's important. He had to get things ready for Jesus. Let's get on to the Jesus part. Let's try and ignore this John the Baptist," because, you know, admit it, be honest, John the Baptist makes us squirm. We don't like how he approaches the preaching ministry. If John the Baptist were called to be the pastor at Fairfield Presbyterian Church, either he or all of you would be gone in no time. That's just the character of John the Baptist. Because he was one who didn't pull any punches. He was one who called it the way that it was. He called it the way that he saw it. He proclaimed the message as clearly and as well as he could. And he didn't care how you responded. If you didn't like it and you walked away, it didn't bother him. If you heard what he said and you changed your life, he loved that. You see, John the Baptist had that ability to proclaim the truth. He had that ability to just see things the way that they were. And he saw that within the Jewish faith of that time, they had lost the heart and soul of what it meant to be Jewish. They were relying upon their heredity. They were relying upon their patronage as sons and daughters of Abraham and thinking that as long as they had that heredity working for them, then it didn't matter what they did, how they did it, or why they did it. As long as they were Jewish and they could prove that lineage, then nothing really mattered about how they lived and how they acted, and certainly not in how they treated each other. And John the Baptist comes along and sees the truth of how they have fallen away from being what they ought to be. And he calls it for what it is. A bunch of hypocrites. A bunch of vipers. A bunch of, you know, he had all sorts of names. And I bet you there was a few names that didn't get printed in the Bible. But he wanted them to see the truth, so that they could hear the good news. You see, if you don't tell somebody that they're doing something wrong, how can you help them to find the right way to do it? And that's what John the Baptist was really so good at, is helping them to see that they were not living their lives in a manner that befitted the children of God. And he asked them, he urged them to repent, to turn around, to see things differently, to do things differently, to see it differently, and then to respond by doing things differently. And he proclaimed the good news of God's grace, of God's mercy, and that God was sending somebody who would wipe out all of our sins. Somebody who would set for us the example of how it is that we ought to live our lives in love, in kindness, in generosity, and in every other manner that befits being a son or daughter of our Heavenly Father. You see, life needs that balance of truth and good news. At the 11 o'clock service, part of the traditional service is that prayer of confession, where we look at ourselves and we see the truth about ourselves, but it is always followed by the good news, some proclamation of God's promises of love and grace and forgiveness. You cannot appreciate good news if you don't understand the truth. Truth and good news. The truth helps us to see how rich and deep and beautiful the good news is, so that we can live lives that reflect that good news. Lives that reflect God's grace, God's love, God's forgiveness. Maybe that John the Baptist wasn't such a crazy old coot after all. Maybe he's good for us to see things a little clearly, a little differently. Let John the Baptist, that crazy uncle of all of ours, speak to our hearts today. Would you pray with me? Almighty and ever-loving God, we do give you thanks that you have confronted us with the truth, but that you have blessed us with the good news. Help us to see ourselves clearly, and help us to live our lives in the light of the gospel, to live as forgiven people who seek to share your love, your joy, your peace in this world in which we live. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.